The Local Government News Roundup is proudly supported by Davidson. For 30 years, Davidson has been strengthening the local government sector by identifying and providing the people, expertise and experience that local government needs to enhance its capability, productivity and performance. Davidson is nationally recognised for its executive recruitment services and over the past 4 years has built a business advisory practice rapidly evolving into one of the nation's foremost and trusted local government business consultancy firms. The Davidson methodology and approach is simple. Thinking beyond now and aiming to be a valued partner with your local government, not just for the immediate project, but for the next 30 years. Speak to Justin Hanney or Seamus Scanlon to find out more, or head to davidsonwp.com.au. Davidson, your future, your partner. Just ahead on the roundup, a mayor accuses Melbourne Airport of a conflict of interest. A new CEO appointed at Glenelgshire. New candidates unveiled for council elections in Geelong. Mayors welcome the suspension of the New England Weeds Authority. A New South Wales council criticised for excessive development approval wait times. An ombudsman investigation into Hobart City Council and its Lord Mayor. A WA mayor apologises after accusations of offensive conduct. And a UK council reports nearly £3 million in losses to fraud and human error in 1 year. Just some of the stories getting our attention today. Let's round them up now. Hello, I'm Chris Eddy, back with another curated selection of news from and about councils across Australia and beyond. The podcast is brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association, the national broadcaster on all things local government, with support from Davidson, the nationally recognised local government recruitment and business advisory service, and from Ventia, making infrastructure work sustainably for our communities. Mayor of Moonee Valley, Pierce Tyson, has accused Melbourne Airport of having a conflict of interest, claiming it's putting protection of its parking revenue ahead of getting behind the airport railing project. Councillor Tyson made the accusation at the ALP State Conference yesterday, according to a report from The Age. The claims came ahead of the conference passing a motion condemning the airport's greed and calling on the government to get serious about the project. A spokesperson for the airport said it was supportive of the rail link and that the state had refused its requests for a meeting. Glenelgshire Council has appointed Helen Havercroft as its new permanent CEO. Ms. Havercroft is originally from the UK, arriving in Australia in 2021 to take up the role of Director Corporate Performance at Alpineshire. She's a former CEO of the Government of South Georgia and the South Sandwich Islands, a UK overseas territory in the South Atlantic. Ms. Havercroft will take over from interim CEO Craig Neiman on the 29th of July. Mr. Neiman is filling the position for 8 weeks, having recently relieved interim CEO Greg Wood, who held the position from November last year. The Geelong Advertiser reports on the announcement of three Greens candidates for the upcoming Geelong Council elections. The three women include a former New South Wales councillor and a queer trans woman looking to bring progressive change to the council. They'll stand in three of the 11 single-member ward elections, with more Greens candidates tipped to be announced between now and the opening of nominations in September. The City of Whittlesea and the Shire of Mitchell have welcomed the announcement of an additional $750 million in funding for the Camerons Lane interchange to progress the Beveridge Intermodal Precinct. The announcement takes the total federal government commitment towards the project to $900 million. The investment is expected to boost job creation and contribute $2.5 billion annually to the Victorian economy by establishing a major freight and logistics hub in Melbourne's north, catering to a rapidly growing population. A meeting of Hume City Council was briefly adjourned last week due to what was described by Sunbury Life as unruly behaviour from some councillors. The adjournment came after a debate on a report on councillor conduct and expenses, which revealed a cost of $361,000 to deal with complaints about councillor conduct during the past 2 financial years. Repeated shouts of point of order and claims and counterclaims were reported, particularly from Councillors Jack Medcraft and Trevor Dance. Councillor Medcraft admitted to being on the receiving end of 25 complaints during the current term of the council. A group of Greater Bendigo community leaders, including Mayor Councillor Andrea Metcalf, has condemned a recent spate of vandalism against various cultural, sacred and historic sites in Bendigo. The group has emphasised the community's commitment to equality, peace and goodwill, and has called for understanding and respect among different faiths and cultures. It also acknowledges the contributions of First Nations peoples and migrants to the city and region. The community leaders have encouraged residents to continue to contribute to a community where understanding triumphs over ignorance and intolerance, and inclusion and acceptance prevails. East Gippsland Shire Council is urging cat owners to adhere to cat containment laws to protect their pets and local wildlife. Cats kept within property boundaries tend to live healthier lives and pose less threat to native species. And the council is providing tips for creating a stimulating home environment for cats, offering free cat traps for stray cats. Campaspe Shire Council has secured $11.3 million in funding from the Australian Government's Growing Regions program to redevelop Victoria Park into a multi-purpose community and emergency relief centre. The project is part of the Victoria Park and Scenic Trail Master Plan and will include the demolition of existing infrastructure and the construction of a new sports events and emergency relief centre. The City of Ballarat has launched a campaign to address gender-based violence in response to a number of high-profile cases in the region. The campaign aims to raise awareness of the work led by Women's Health Grampians through the Communities of Respect and Equality Alliance, a partnership of over 120 organisations committed to preventing violence against women and children. And advocacy from Glenelg Shire Council and the Port of Portland has been rewarded with a $150 million federal government commitment to upgrade the Maroona-Portland rail line. The upgrade will enable increased axle limits and is expected to make the Port of Portland more competitive by strengthening supply chains, supporting emission reduction targets, and lifting the line's speed limits to 80 kilometres per hour. In other news in brief, Yarra Rangers Council has approved a pilot parking improvement program in Warburton. The program will manage traffic flow through parking information displays and charge non-residents for parking in certain areas with the revenue reinvested into the local community. Yarra Rangers residents will be eligible for free parking permits. The Victorian Government has announced 19 new and upgraded dog parks across Melbourne and Geelong to be funded under a new and upgraded dog parks program. The six new parks and 13 upgrades will be designed to meet local community needs. The locations were chosen through an application process with eligible councils, and all projects are expected to be completed by 2026. And Ararat Rural City Council has released a draft budget with a net 0% rate rise and a $15.5 million investment in capital works. Highlights include a $100,000 commitment to young people's programs, a $500,000 contribution to Ararat Housing Enterprise, and a $1.8 million investment in renewing rural gravel roads. The council is seeking community feedback on its draft budget. This is the Local Government News Roundup for Monday, the 20th of May, 2024. It's episode number 338 and brought to you as always by the Victorian Local Governance Association. I recommend you check out the events page on the VLGA website to make sure you don't miss out on some of the upcoming events. This Friday online, the Local Women Leading Change Workshop is happening. This is all about preparing women to be candidates at the council elections later this year. And then coming up on the 31st of May for members only, a lunch and learn session as part of the professional development program for councillors on effective meeting procedures. You can find out more by going to vlga.org.au/events. And a big thank you to our supporting sponsors, Davidson, who provide recruitment and business advisory services to local governments all across the country, and Ventia, working with councils and communities to make infrastructure sustainable. More news now from around the country, and the board of the New England Weeds Authority has been suspended by the New South Wales Minister for Local Government due to serious financial and governance concerns. An interim administrator, John Rayner, has been appointed to investigate the issues. The minister's decision follows reports of financial irregularities, including incomplete financial records that prevented an audit. The suspension will initially last for 3 months. The Land has reported that Walcha Mayor Eric Noakes and Yooralla Shire Mayor Robert Bell have both welcomed the appointment of an administrator, agreeing that the decision has been a long time coming. Central Coast Council in New South Wales has been criticised for excessive wait times for development approvals and for delaying a proposed 500-home development due to unresolved issues around sewage and environmental concerns. The Daily Telegraph reports that the average assessment time for a development application on the Central Coast is 136 days this year, the second longest for all major councils outside of Sydney. The council is currently approving about 2,500 dwellings per year, but only 61% are being built or completed. Central Coast Council is due to return to elected councillors in September after being under administration since 2020. Wagga Wagga City Council is urging the community to support its campaign to retain the lease on the Wagga Wagga Airport, which expires in June next year. The council has launched an advocacy campaign for a new and improved lease with the Commonwealth Department of Defence. Stakeholders are encouraged to write letters of support to relevant ministers and voice their support on the council's website. Mayor Dallas Tart said the airport is a critical community asset, and the council fears that privatisation would increase costs and create barriers for the community. South Burnett Regional Council in Queensland has called for a moratorium on renewable energy projects unless certain conditions are met, including a bond for decommissioning and project removal costs, protections for endangered species, full state government approval, and minimal impact on ratepayers. The council will seek endorsement from the Wide Bay Regional Organisation of Councils for those positions. Mayor Cathy Duff said renewable projects were causing a lot of concern in communities, emphasising the need for proper planning and guidelines. Logan City Council's Illegal Dumping Task Force has received a $90,000 funding boost from the Queensland Government, bringing the total funding to $354,000. The council says the funding will enable the employment of more compliance officers to combat illegal dumping. Since its establishment in 2022, the task force has increased public awareness, implemented enforcement measures, and utilised safety camera networks for detection. 45% of illegally dumped waste was removed by offenders at no cost to the council, saving over $579,000, and fines of over $500,000 have been issued. In Tasmania, the Ombudsman is investigating claims that Hobart City Council and its Lord Mayor Anna Reynolds breached privacy laws by informing transgender activists about a proposed women's rights event. The investigation has been revealed in an exclusive report from The Australian and follows a complaint by Councillor Louise Elliott, who alleges her private request to book the Town Hall ballroom for an event featuring critics of trans rights was leaked to activists. The Ombudsman's preliminary assessment is believed to have examined text messages and emails obtained by Ms. Elliott under right to information laws. In South Australia, a $14 million project to revamp the Mount Gambier and District Sail Yards has been hit with a setback after failing to secure $7 million in vital federal funding, according to the Adelaide Advertiser. The project aimed to transform the sail yards into a regional hub, increasing market sales and providing a platform for producers. Grant Council CEO Daryl Wicker said they'd seek feedback from the federal and state governments on how to deliver their mutual commitment in the best interests of primary producers. Adelaide City Council has extended its bilingual Chinese Mandarin Community Liaison Officer service until June next year after receiving 200 inquiries from July 23 to March 24. The majority of the inquiries related to council services, with a smaller portion related to police matters. InDaily.com reported that Councillor Simon Howe believes there's a need for a Mandarin-speaking community safety officer, noting that while South Australia Police have recruited 3 Mandarin-speaking officers, none are currently stationed in Adelaide. And a couple of WA council stories in the news. Joondalup Mayor Albert Jacob has apologised after being found to have breached conduct rules during a meeting, according to a report from Perth Now. Councillor Jacob was accused of slamming a desk, throwing a pen and using offensive language after a committee voted against his motion. The incident occurred during a CEO Performance Review Committee meeting, where his amendment to exclude elected member comments from the record was voted down. Councillor Jacob has denied some of the accusations, but admitted his actions were wrong and that he's sought counselling to better handle the pressures of public office. And an online petition to save a residential gum tree in Alexander Heights set for removal by Wanneroo Council has gathered nearly 7,000 signatures. Perth Now reports there were initial requests from residents for its removal due to concerns over falling branches, but the tree was found to be in good health. Critics argue that the removal contradicts the City of Wanneroo's urban forest strategy and street tree policy. The city has confirmed that the tree will be replaced as part of its 2024 tree planting program. More news in brief now, and Wollongong City Council Lord Mayor Gordon Bradbury has announced his decision to step down from his role at the upcoming local government elections, according to Wave FM. Lord Mayor Bradbury has led the City of Wollongong since 2011 and said it's been a great honour to serve for the past 13 years. Northern Beaches Council near Sydney has installed 7 new street-side power pole-mounted electric vehicle chargers in collaboration with utility services company Intellihub and the Australian Renewable Energy Agency. The installation is part of a larger 12-month, $2 million trial aiming to install 50 pole-mounted EV chargers across 9 New South Wales councils. And the city of Mandurah in Western Australia has been named Platinum Waterwise Council of the Year for the second time in 7 years at the 2024 Waterwise Recognition Awards. The city has been recognised for its innovative Waterwise principles and practices, including a centralised digital metering system and a 10-year environmental strategy. Wanneroo Aquamotion has been crowned Waterwise Aquatic Centre of the Year for its water-saving installations. This is the Local Government News Roundup for the 20th of May 2024, episode number 338. Just ahead of the Global Roundup, a couple of show notes for you. The episode of Roundup Unfiltered, featuring the CEO of the City of Greater Geelong, Ali Wastey, is now available for all to listen. It was available just to subscribers for a limited time. There's been quite a bit of demand to release that episode, so it's come out over the weekend for everyone. There's another special edition of Roundup Unfiltered coming to you probably tomorrow, featuring Ruth McGowan, OAM, and Kerry Wilson. We're talking about the state of gender equality in the local government sector, particularly with elections on our doorstep in New South Wales and Victoria in the coming months. Look out for that episode for subscribers shortly, and then for everyone in about a week's time. It's an exciting time in the electoral cycle, and we've got much more to come for you from the Local Government News Roundup in the months ahead. If you'd like to support the work that we're doing here to keep you up to date across the local government sector, you can do so by making a very small contribution, which you can cancel at any time, and the details of how to subscribe are available on our website or our Buzzsprout site. Thank you to those who've subscribed so far. It's great to have your support. It's Global Roundup time. We're starting in the UK today. Losses to fraud and human error at a UK council have increased fivefold in the last financial year to £2.8 million, including nearly £63,000 to a care provider for a deceased person and over £16,000 in salaries to former employees. BBC News reported that the higher figures at Kent County Council were said to be because of better awareness of reporting irregularities. The council's counter-fraud manager said significant work has been done to prevent such irregularities in the future. A protest has been held against West Northamptonshire Council's handling of abuse allegations against its leader, Jonathan Nunn. The protest was organised by domestic abuse survivor Hannah Martin, according to a BBC News report. Councillor Nunn, who denies the allegation, stepped down as council leader but remains on the council as an independent. Ms Martin believes that he should fully resign and that council members need proper training on domestic abuse. Glasgow City Council has deemed the actions of celebrating football fans as unacceptable after they left litter, debris and broken glass in the wake of their team's premiership win. The council had called on fans to respect the city during their celebrations, but that appears to have fallen on deaf ears, with bus stops and traffic signals damaged ahead of a major charity event due to take place in the city on the weekend. BBC News reported that concerns were heightened after last year's celebrations, which saw 3 people seriously assaulted and 10 arrests made. Nottingham City Council has been criticised for the slow pace of change amid financial turmoil in a report by the Improvement and Assurance Board. BBC News reports that the board noted some progress but found that the council has not fully grasped the severity of its situation. Its report is critical of the council's culture and inefficient working practices and noted that the council's workforce was over 500 people larger than comparable authorities. In New Zealand, Christchurch City Council is being urged to review its oversight of the city's strategic assets after the shock resignations of 4 Christchurch City Holdings Limited board members last week. The Otago Daily Times reported that the resignations, including that of board chair Abby Foote, were attributed to a breakdown in the relationship between the board and the council, including its current management. Business Canterbury's CEO, Leanne Watson, has criticised the council's ineffective oversight of the board and its rejection of a proposal that would have allowed for increased dividend returns and reduced rates pressure. From the US, Los Angeles City Council is investigating the deaths of 2 Asian elephants, Jewel and Shaunzi, at the LA Zoo. The council unanimously approved a motion to study the cause of death and evaluate the current standards of care of the remaining elephants. The Daily News reported that Jewel and Shaunzi were both euthanized due to declining health. The council is hoping to ensure the health and safety of the 2 remaining elephants, Tina and Billy. Briefly in other news, Mohammad Asad Duseman has been unanimously elected as the first South Asian Muslim mayor of London's Brighton and Hove Council. Asad Duseman has lived in the city for 30 years and has a background in public service in Bangladesh. He was first elected to the council last year. The UK government has allocated nearly £1 million to 26 councils to combat fly tipping. The funds will support various initiatives, including increased CCTV surveillance, AI-assisted camera technology, and campaigns to raise awareness about using licensed waste companies. The councils will each receive grants of up to £50,000. And Whitehorse City Council in Yukon, Canada, has rejected a recommendation to introduce online voting in their next municipal elections. Councillors rejected a plan put forward by the council administration with the support of Yukon's chief electoral officer due to concerns about security flaws, potential for vote selling, coerced voting, and vulnerabilities to cyber attacks. Now, just before we go, an update on a story we brought you a week or so ago. North Yorkshire Council in the UK has reversed its decision to remove apostrophes from new street signs after backlash from residents and language experts. The council had initially decided to omit the punctuation mark to avoid computer system issues, but the move sparked global criticism. The council has confirmed that not only will apostrophes be included in future signs, but also hyphens and ampersands. A controversial sign at St Mary's Walk in Harrogate will be corrected to include the proper punctuation. They can all put their texters away there in North Yorkshire. Common sense has prevailed. That's the latest from the Local Government News Roundup, this edition for Monday, the 20th of May, 2024, and brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association with support from Davidson and Ventia. You can find the links to the stories referenced in the episode and a full transcript, as always, at lgnewsroundup.com. While you're there, check out the latest breaking news updates and learn how you can support the Roundup by becoming a subscriber through a small monthly contribution, which you can cancel at any time. The Local Government News Roundup is recorded in the city of Greater Geelong, Victoria, on the land of the Wadawurrung people of the Kulin Nation. I'll be back with more local government news soon. Until next time, thanks for listening and bye for now.